Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Delia and this is Francesca, and we're teachers and tutors here at the LSAT Demon. Today we have a question that actually came in through the ask button. And this person asked, so when it comes to the question stem, what makes the difference between a necessary assumption question and a sufficient assumption question? I answered this question as if it was a sufficient assumption question, yet I still answered the question correctly. However, being able to tell the difference would help with my approach to the question more. If it's not in the question stem, then what exactly makes the difference between sufficient assumption and necessary assumption questions, and how can I identify it? Francesca, do you want to share some thoughts on this?
Yeah, absolutely. This is something that we talk about all the time in LR Foundations on Wednesday evenings. It's a very common question. Well, both necessary assumption and sufficient assumption questions come up all the time on the test. It's important to understand the difference because they are two different questions. Now, we can talk a bit later about how sometimes there can be overlap and sometimes an assumption can be both necessary and sufficient. But first, just to make a distinction between the two, when we're talking about a necessary assumption, we're looking for a piece of information that the author has to agree with. So think about the intuitive meaning of the words necessary and sufficient. Necessary means that it needs to be something that they're on board with, that they agree with. Otherwise, the argument wouldn't make sense. So we're looking for something that, like, again, just to really drill it home, the author would have to agree with it in order for the argument to work at all. And I want to kind of distinguish that from the idea that the answer choice must be true, because we say that sometimes necessary assumption means it must be true. And it's like, yes, kind of. It means that it must be true for the argument to work, but that doesn't mean that it must be supported by the passage, which is what we're talking about when it comes to must be true, the question type. So you don't need to eliminate answer choices just because they're not supported in the passage. A lot of the time, what makes the passage flawed is that the author didn't say the necessary assumption. So they would have had to say it for it to work. So that's a small difference there. But we're looking for something that the author has to agree with. And then in the land of sufficient assumptions, these ones are kind of fun. I like to think of them as, like, you can get a lot more creative with them because you can make them as extreme as you want. They, again, they don't need to be supported by the passage. They can be as far-fetched as you want. But if they're true, it proves the conclusion. So that's what sufficient means. Sufficient just means enough. You hear sufficient and look for something that is enough on its own to make the argument win. That's the bare bones of the difference there. Do you have anything to add to that?
No, I think that's a great little just capture of what's going on and what the difference is there. And I just kind of want to take a second to plug the lessons for anyone who is a live subscriber to the Demon, or I think on premium, you get access to the lessons as well. But on the lessons, there's a lesson called LR Elevator Pitches, and it does a quick overview of every single question type and what you're looking for on that question type. So if you ever need kind of a refresher, aside from this podcast, of course, of what the difference is between sufficient and necessary assumption, I always go back to that lesson and I refer students to that lesson as well.
Yeah, and you can also look under the tabs of LR questions passage-driven and the LR questions answer-driven one. So we call it we put the necessary assumption questions under passage-driven because we're going back to the passage and we're looking for something that the author would have to agree with. Whereas with the sufficient assumption ones, it's like it's answer-driven. And let me know if you have a better way of explaining this, but it's answer-driven in the sense that the answer doesn't need to have any sort of grounding in the passage. It can come totally out of left field as long as it makes the argument win.
Right. And then just a plug for if you don't happen to have a live or premium subscription, there is a YouTube video by the same name, LR Elevator Pitches. I always recommend it to students as well if you are listening and you're on the free Demon subscription. So just to be aware of that.
Yeah, totally. And the last thing I wanted to talk about was in the question, this student had misunderstood whether it was a necessary or sufficient assumption. They thought it was the other question than it was. Mm-hmm. Actually, just quickly on understanding what the question's asking, sometimes the student, you're right, like they won't say necessary or sufficient in the words of the question stem itself. But again, if you come back to what the synonyms of necessary and sufficient are, with necessary assumptions, we're looking at things that say, like, on which of these does it depend? Does the argument depend, right? If it depends on it, that means that it's necessary. Or relies. Yeah, requires. These are all things that say, like, necessary. Sometimes they'll say, which does the argument presuppose? Delia, you probably get this question in class. How do you make sense of the word presuppose? What does that mean?
Right. It essentially means the same thing. What does it require? Right. So.
Yeah. It's just like, what does it assume? It's a kind right. of a necessary right. way of saying which does it suppose? Which does it take to be true?
Right. And it confuses students all the time. But I'm glad you brought that up as well, because it's the same. It's asking the same question.
Yeah. And then on the flip side of the sufficient assumption questions, the questions will often say, which of these if assumed or if true? And again, this is giving you that hint that it's like, you don't need to prove these answer choices. You can take them to be true. And if they're true, do they prove the conclusion? Which one of these makes the conclusion properly inferred or logically follows or properly drawn, justifies the conclusion? These things, it's like, what's going to make the conclusion win? What's going to prove it? But sometimes, like what happened here, by the sounds of it, there can be a piece of information that is both necessary and sufficient.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I think, again, I think this was the case with this question that the student was writing in on AskButton about. But like Francesca said, with a necessary assumption question, you're looking for something that the author has to agree with. And with a sufficient assumption question, you're looking for something that kind of fills in the gap, that proves the conclusion, that makes the argument valid. But something can be something, an answer choice can be something that makes the argument valid that the author also obviously has to agree with, or else their argument doesn't make sense, and vice versa. But yeah, sometimes it can be both. It can be both something that the author has to agree with, but also could make the conclusion valid.
Yeah. But of course, we always encourage you to really take the time to figure out what the question's asking, because it's more often than not, the right answer only answers that question. It's not both.
Right.
It happens. So don't be completely mm-hmm. thrown if that's the case, because it can be true that there's one gap in the argument. The author needs to fill it for it to work. But if it's filled, the argument is otherwise perfectly fine. It makes sense that something could be both sufficient and necessary to make the conclusion work. But most of the time, that's not what you're looking for. Take the time to understand the question, because a misunderstanding, a mistake on the test, it can happen anywhere. Most of the time it happens with not understanding something in the passage, but you can also misunderstand the question or the words in the answer choice. Every word on this test matters, so make sure that you're paying attention to every part of it.
I completely agree. Do you have any final thoughts on the student's question?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a great one. And if, again, people are having any issues with any question types, or if they want to practice parsing out which question is which, again, check it out on the lessons page. If you're a subscriber, and best of luck with this.
Yeah, and also always feel free to write into the Ask button. This is where this question came from. We have been recently taking a lot of questions that come in on the Ask button and using them as pod episodes, and I think that's super helpful. So just a quick plug for the Ask button. But yeah, email daily@lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.